Sixers will be third. I would say they love the Phillies second.
Yeah, and that sounds reasonable. What about the Flyers? I put them at number four. I don't think there's any other sports franchises that we miss. I mean, maybe the Philadelphia United or whatever it's called.
Bro, the fact that, okay, think about it this way. Like, hockey just doesn't generate as much. You have good. It's a very, very niche fan base. Like, Alex Ovechkin is about to be the greatest hockey player of all time. And, yet niggas are like, oh, like, you know.
I was in the arena when he got 802, so I care. I'll tell you that.
But he's also Russian.
He stood with Ukraine.
That nigga's from D.C. for all I
know. Yeah, I know. Alex Ovechkin is officially, he is a D.C. guy. He became a naturalized D.C. citizen when he joined the great Washington Capitals. Shout out to Alex Ovechkin, the GOAT.
Yeah, no, big facts. Big shout out to the GOAT, Alex Ovechkin, 802. You know, it's crazy because, like, straight up, you don't get to witness that type of kind of accomplishment a lot in sports. So, like, but this year we could see another one. We could see LeBron take over the scoring NBA all-time scoring title. You see Ovechkin here taking number 802 second all-time in hockey. Tom Brady, you know, he's still doing his thing. Messi gets his first World Cup. So, yeah, no, I mean, it's very, very really cool year for sports, 2022. Very, very historic year for sports and a lot of, like, milestones being broken. So, I like it. I really do like it.
Yeah, agreed. You know, Wayne Gretzky, greatest hockey player of all time. You introduced me to 99 Stories.
Yeah, man.
I'd love to hear 101 stories from Alex Ovechkin.
Oh, I mean, his English is pretty good. So, I mean, outside of that, but, you know, him coming from a Russian background and stuff like that, I think, like, he definitely have cool stories. And, I mean, when his book comes around later down in life, I'd love to hear his stories, especially the chapter when he brought the cup to D.C., you know.
We're not going to fucking suck anymore.
We're not going to suck anymore. Something like that. You know, very definitely great quote from that.
Well, you know what's crazy? The Europeans are coming into the American sports world and taking over. Did you hear about Luka Doncic's crazy triple double, 60-20-11-10 or something like that?
60-21-11, I believe it was.
And Jokic is still out there doing Jokic things.
Back-to-back MVPs. And
I think he'd go for triple.
Yeah, no, I'm dead ass. Like, if you're asking me, there's definitely a big argument for him to be made to get a third consecutive MVP because every time I watch some highlights of this guy, he does something amazing. Like, amazing for his size, his speed. But it's really cool seeing just, like, the European athletes excel at this level in a predominantly American sport.
Yeah, I mean, what's crazy is that, you know, people assume because of, like, you know, like Luka and Jokic being European, that, like, you know, they're soft, privileged kids. It's like, no, like, bro, they grew up, like, hardcore, like, bro, it's crazy out there, bro. They're from war-torn countries.
Oh, 100%. No, number one. Number two, if there was a picture out on Denver Nuggets.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. Yeah, there was a picture that Denver Nuggets posted not too long ago where it's just a close-up of Jokic. And then you could zoom in and then just see the scratches and, like, bruises this man has on his arms. Like, legit, like, scars. And everyone came to the conclusion, this nigga gets hacked all the goddamn time.
And, you're about Hacky Shack.
Yeah.
This is Hacky Yoke, yeah.
He doesn't bitch or complain.
No, he doesn't bitch or complain or nothing, bro. And, like, it's funny, too, because I know basketball players. Like, I know basketball players. I don't know why. They don't cut their fingernails for some reason. Like,
or just some adults in general. Like, it's like, yeah, ew.
I'm like, bro, your fingernails are way too long. And I can tell which ones who do and don't. Like, you can fucking tell. Like,
yeah, you don't got to get the whole gel pads and all that shit. Just take care of your fingernails.
If I'm joking, I'm like, motherfucker, cut your goddamn nails.
It should be like a regulation rule.
No, because I'm telling you, Mahonda, like, this scar he had was huge. Like, I'm talking about like a nigga rolling a blunt. Like you know them niggas. You know them niggas with the bad way. Them type of nails.
Rich homie Kwan posted a video about getting haircuts, and then all the comment section was like, "Damn, bro, cut your fucking nails."
That ass, like, bro, like, what is wrong with
you? Talking about, yo, get a crisp cut, but you can't even get your nails crisp, bro. Like, bro, you can bite them shits.
I don't care, bro.
You don't even need it. You don't even need tools. You just got the teeth.
Yo, you got nails longer than your fucking, than your girl's nails, bro. Like, what's wrong with you, fam?
Well, you don't want to do the back scratching?
You got the cocaine now.
But, no, like, seriously, I really think... I think Jokic can really make a run for a third straight MVP. Obviously, I think it's going to be very hard for him. Last year, he got second one. A lot of people didn't like him getting a second one. But it was really just between him and Giannis. Now it's going to be between him and Luka. And at this rate, I feel like, the media, it's got to be like the media narrative is going to be pushed towards Luka getting a first NBA MVP.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yo, I would love to see Ja Morant do it, but I mean, they're looking like nah, Morant. I want to really bring this back up because we talked about this in the summer, like the constant chatter from the Grizzlies and the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And Ja Morant last week said, oh, he's good in the West, but got his ass handed to him in the West. Like, bro, there's levels to this shit, man. Like, I'm trying to tell you, like, I get it, you know what I'm saying? You wanted the Christmas Day. You're one of the young up-and-coming players. But, bro, Golden State is a team of fucking dogs and all-stars, bro. You're one person, Ja Morant. You're not going to be able to take down the Warriors, especially when you're not a consistent shooter.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, you could lay up, dunk all you want to, bro. But, I mean, ask Derrick Rose, man. Like, you can only do that shit for so long.
It's funny because the way their team is set up in the Grizzlies is a young Warriors team, really. You know, they had the one star and Ja Morant, they had the one star back in the day. It's Steph Curry for the Warriors. But if you look at it really closely, like, they should take a page out of the Warriors' number and the strength in numbers, you know, the Warriors' playbook, I should say, and use that strength in numbers approach. Whereas, you know, they have Dylan Brooks, they have Steven Adams, but they kind of, like, play within each other and trust each other, which, I mean, Ja Morant's still a young guy, and let's be real, like, it may take him some time to get used to, like, playing within, like, playing together. We know, man. We watch The Last Dance. We read fucking Phil Jackson's books. I mean, when it comes to basketball championship, bro, everyone has to play together. Everyone has to understand their role.
Unselfishly. Like,
it can be hero ball, unless you're LeBron James.
Unless you're Dylan Brooks. Speaking of which, yeah. Yeah, you guys got the video I sent you of the guy who caught Dylan Brooks at the airport. It's like, yo, you need to pass the fucking rock.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah.
I saw that, you know. You can't have that. Like,
you can't have it. Dylan Brooks, you were the fucking man in college, bro. I watched you crush people in Oregon.
You know
what I'm saying? You single-handedly took out Duke. I remember. Coach K was so mad that you took out Duke. He told you need to act better. It's like, who the fuck are you to tell me I need to act better?
Hey, look, I don't mind. They're going with their whole, like, they're trying to be the 1990s Detroit Pistons. If that's what they want to go for, they can go for that. I have no problem. I like it. I love it for the NBA. But if they want to win a championship, like I said, you know, take a playbook out the Warriors.
Yeah.
But the numbers, baby.
Enough of the NBA, because, you know, right now, NFL playoffs is right around the corner, and, man, this is a crazy, crazy fucking week again.
Oh, 100%, yo, again, happy holidays again, everybody. Hope y'all enjoyed your Christmas. There was a few big, Santa came early for some folks, but for others, you know, shit did not go as planned. Starting off with my Commanders, obviously. We didn't take care of business in San Francisco. We had Chase Young coming back. Very excited to see Chase Young come back for my team. But the Brock Purdy party. Purdy party? I don't know. He just proved too much. The 49ers, George Kittle, just proved too much for my Commanders. We had a Carson Wentz sighting.
Gets his job back.
He does get his job back. He's gonna go in to start with us. The last two games of the season.
Bro, about time.
So we need to win those 2 days.
I understand if, like, you know, you're riding a high hand at QB, but I'm like, bro, when there's a huge talent gap between Taylor Heineke and Carson Wentz, and it's not even close.
And that's the thing, like, Mahana, I'm telling you right now, like, people. I don't understand. I understand the feel-good story that Heineke is. You know, I get it. Heineke's cool. It's a fun experience. Like, But it's not like anyone else is playing harder just because this guy is out there. To be honest, like, no, they're not. Yeah. And here's the other thing, too. Like, we have those last three games. If we have anybody else at quarterback, Gardner Minshew. If we have Gardner Minshew at quarterback, we win that game. We win two of the last three games. But we're 0-2-1 in the last three games. If we have Ryan Tannehill, we win two of the three games.
Brock Purdy. Nah, I doubt Brock Purdy will win in your...
That's the thing. Like people are so blinded by their fandom of Heineke that they go brain dead.
They do.
This guy can't throw the football. Like, he has limitations in throwing the football.
I've seen a lot of close one-score games where you guys were on the other side and people were just like, we got Taylor Heineke.
Hitting 20 points for the Commanders is, like, pretty hard.
When with Heineke, because Heineke is limited. He can't... Like...
Carson,
you guys weren't watching the game, but McLaurin had like a 4-yard touchdown. I swear, this man, Heineke, threw the ball at the 20-yard line. He backs up because he has pocket awareness, but he doesn't climb the pocket. He just keeps backing up because he's too short to see over the line. He doesn't have the arm strength, so he needs a huge window to throw it.
He's not a threat to run.
He's not running as much as he used to. Like, I remember back when he was, like, he took off for, like, a 40-yard gain last year against the Packers. This year, like, he's just very scared to run.
So, on the other side of that, Carson Wentz, we saw him, and, you know, he slung it right
up to
Jahan.
He never got a fair shake.
Yeah, he slung it right up to Jahan Dotson. Honestly, I think there's a different game plan whenever these two come in, obviously, because, you know, does he have a better arm than Carson? Does he have a bigger arm? I don't think so, right? Carson's got a really big arm.
Well, let me tell you. Carson Wentz, that arm is going to beat the Cowboys in week 18 or week 19.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, the thing is, we could literally lose our season. Like, our season could be over come Sunday, you know.
But that seventh spot is yours to lose.
We did get a lot of help. So we got lucky. San did not leave the Commanders a lump of coal. He actually gifted them two important wins from other teams, with the Seahawks losing to the Chiefs. And the Panthers upsetting the Lions at home, destroying the Lions.
Destroying a lot of parlays.
A lot, yeah. A lot of people are saying Lions were a lock of the week. You know, even me. I thought that was a lock.
I heard there was another lock. Panthers 2+5.
Yeah. Why you always Lions? Why you always Lions?
The Lions got the brakes beat off them, so that's good for the playoff chase. Which, I mean... We had a good slate of games on Saturday. I know you guys want to talk. Go ahead, talk about a really great game. Another game of the week nominee. I think probably would be game of the week.
Yeah, Eagles Cowboys.
Cowboys. Yeah.
I mean,
America's game of the week.
Yeah, it really was. It was a shootout. It was a fun game to watch.
What a Christmas game.
Yeah.
What a Christmas Eve.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Like, got to give hats off to the Cowboys. They did what they needed to do. But we're not gonna sit here and act like only the Cowboys could pull off a miracle play like 3rd and 30. When it was more so a blunder play call by the Philadelphia Eagles defense after losing a key injury, and we saw what Jonathan Gannon likes to do in these situations.
Certain players can't do what other players can do. And at that moment, Josiah Scott could not cover.
Yeah.
Was it Noah Brown who caught that? Was that T.Y. Hilton? Sorry,
T.Y. Hilton. Yeah. And T.Y. Hilton, bro. Yeah, T.Y. Hilton's good. He's a savvy veteran. He got some burners for somebody his age.
What do you call them? The speed mercenaries?
Yeah.
You know, speed fire?
Yeah. Now, CeeDee Lamb's a dog.
CeeDee Lamb's a dog. He's the new bane of Philadelphia for me, like in our division, in terms of wide receivers.
They don't give that number 88 out to just nobody.
Yeah, they give it to.
They don't give that number out to just anybody.
Yeah, I mean, dude, they were pulling out. The Cowboys were making some plays. Dak was hot after an early pick six, but I want to talk about Gardner Minshew. Like, you know, the Eagles. We saw what happened against Washington, where they turned the ball over. And the other team scored off those turnovers, and that's what loses you the game. But one thing I will say, Minshew played really well. And, yo, Devontae Smith is the number one receiver on any other team. Any other team.
Hell yeah.
That guy's a dog. There's no 1A, 1B.
There's a good reason why I believe Gardner Minshew played as well as he did, was able to throw us, because definitely because of the game plan that Sirianni had for him. That's a touchdown.
Wow, that.
North Carolina.
The one and raise up. Yeah.
The random bowl game in the middle of the week.
Yeah. North Carolina. We're watching that live. Sirianni has a great game plan, and the coaches as well, the offensive coordinator and everybody. Great game plan to get Gardner Minshew to be able to, you know, keep up with Dak Prescott and the high-powered Dallas Cowboys offense. And, some key turnovers, like the Miles Sanders fumble was big. That's back-to-back weeks with fumbles for him. He'll shake it off. And hopefully he will. I mean,
yeah, I mean, everyone gets two fumbles a year for me.
Yeah.
In non-crucial moments.
He's gonna get a heavier workload because, you know, the whole Jalen Hurts situation is still that he's probably not gonna play until the playoffs.
Well, the Eagles just need one win. Yeah. They could either do it with Gardner. Well, with I won't say easily. They could do it with Gardner Minshew in both either this week or the following week. But if we lose this week, this is a lot of concern in Philadelphia.
I'm not worried about this week.
But yeah,
their best quarterback is a tight end.
Yeah.
And Alvin Kamara's not playing. Yes.
Look, at the end of the day,
he's questionable. It's personal quad issue.
I mean, you never know how these games could end up. Like, you know, you're not expecting the top two, the number two defense in the NFL to give up 40 points, but then again, it's to the Cowboys. But I do want to say, like, I expected Gardner Minshew to have a solid game. I expected the Eagles to put up points. They have weapons. This is a full team. Like, this is indeed the system. Now, the system isn't as good with Gardner Minshew as it is with Jalen Hurts. So, to Michael Parsons' point, you were wrong.
I mean, I don't think he was wrong. They were still able to put up 34 points with their backup quarterback.
27. There was a pick six.
Well, that adds to his point. the defense scored as well.
Well, no. So, if it's the system, then the system would have won. The system didn't win.
Well, I mean, the system didn't...
Which means Jalen Hurts is necessary for that system to keep thriving because otherwise...
Well, maybe...
And that's what makes him the MVP of the league. I really want to go back to this point about Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown because those are the only two people who have any right to even consider use the term Batman. Quez, no. Like, you're just a fast receiver. Like if any... We could call you soft Batman. You're Robin. I'm sorry. Like, you could... I expect to see more fight. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, Quest will still make plays when we need to make plays. But, dude, like, that's the one thing he needs to work on in his game. It's just, he needs to, you know, stop getting out-muscled for the ball.
Are y'all worried about, like, I mean, we're talking about this is, we're heading into January. January is come Sunday.
Right.
So we're heading into the new year. It's really playoff mode for a lot of teams, you know. So, are y'all really concerned? I know injuries are piling up for you guys. Lane Johnson, Jalen Hurts, You name them.
There is.
And on the secondary as well.
Yeah, I mean, there is concern, but I'm not in 2017, I was pretty concerned. I was like, yo, let's just get to the playoffs. Let's see what happens. And I had a feeling somehow, some way, they'll figure out plays that work for Nick Foles. But for this round, like, I'm not, like, you know, because we had the 2017 experience, and, like, I know this is a completely different team, but I think this is a way more deeper roster, and I think they'll make the right adjustment. Like that game was won for the Eagles. They gave up that 3rd and 30, and that just kind of broke the camel's back right there. You know, 9 times out of 10, you make that stop.
Yeah.
You make that stop, you get the ball back, you run out some clock, you maybe even put up points to go up by double digits for the third time in that game. Speaking of which, the Eagles had 2 10-point leads at different points in the game.
That's a bit concerning because actually, well, Omar, let me hear from you.
I was going to say, I'm actually, Cowboys, they won their Super Bowl playing us during the regular season. So I'm actually excited to see them and play them a third time in the playoffs. I'm very confident this time. And once we get the players back, I feel like we're going to do a great job.
Yeah, I think it's actually a bit concerning that you guys, you mentioned that you had the 2 10-point leads and you squandered those away. Because that's actually something that we've noticed early in the season as well. You know, you guys build up these big leads and kind of like don't know what to do with them. Whether it's, I mean, even as we talked about earlier in the season, like game against the Commanders built up a 10-0 lead or a 14-0 lead, I believe. And then the game against the Packers, you know, build up a big lead. Packers kind of like chipping away. And then you just mentioned it. Well, against the Cowboys, 2 times you have a 10-point lead, and it vanishes, it squanders. That is some type of cause for concern, in my opinion. Because to me, it shows a lack of focus. A lack of focus.
Well, yeah.
And like somebody's not on the same page, I guess.
No, I understand. Yeah, and yeah, of course. Like, yeah, I mean, that is something to be concerned about. But when you kind of put it in context with how the game script was going out, like, you know, that 10-point lead was never safe. Like, Dak was hot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're 1-3 and out away from losing that lead, or 1 stall possession away.
It seems to me. I mean, I was watching. Like, we had the. We were playing at the same time, Commanders and the Eagles.
Yeah.
It seemed to me that you guys were just going bombs away on the Cowboys. Like, no type of run game at all. Or,
We were mixing in the run. Yeah, nah, we threw the ball. Yeah, we were airing it out, and the offensive line was phenomenal. And, you know, with Lane Johnson.
Do you feel like, both of y'all, do y'all feel like you kind of got away from the run and, like, you guys should have probably stuck to the run more, got a little too cute?
No. It's a turnover. Literally, it's a turnover. The turnovers happen while we're moving the ball. Like, Miles Sanders gets two big runs, the next play, interception. You know, driving down the fourth quarter, you know, Devontae Smith makes a ridiculous toe-tapping sideline catch. Amazing throw by Minshew. We're moving the ball. We're keeping the defense on their heels. Devontae Smith literally just gets a big third down conversion. Then, boom, Quez gets out muscle for the ball. Interception.
I have to say.
And then Miles fumbles the next play. So, like, you don't want to run the ball after that.
For you, Omar, definitely. I think this past week.
One more thing. And Boston Scott also fumbled a handoff exchange. Like, yeah. So it's like, why would you run the ball when you're gonna put the ball in the? You can't even get the handoff right.
Yeah.
I think I want to say that you guys finally kind of like are starting to respect the Cowboys a little bit, kind of see like, okay, maybe this team is like.
I've always respected the Cowboys. Like
not
I've always
this guy, not Omar.
Oh no! I mean, the first time we.
I hate them, but like I respect.
When
I know
you
they're
run
good.
The ball on the Cowboys, that's just a big sign of disrespect. When you got to throw the ball, it's a little bit different.
It's like, easy throwing the ball in the NFL.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's way harder to run the ball because that's just, you know, I'm asserting my will. I'm going to run it right down your throat to go straight to the end zone the entire game. Throwing the ball definitely takes a lot more method. And I loved it, honestly, because it just goes to show you that even without Jalen Hurts, you know, we got depth all around the team. Players are going to make plays. Gardner Mitchell is going to do the exact same thing Jalen Hurts does. He gives the best players a chance with the ball. And it's a real shame that, you know, the running backs fumbled. I hope they just correct that shit. And we'll be able to use the running game like how we have the whole year as a second half type of thing. Because, you know, we usually start the game, most of the year, we started off the first half just airing it out. By the second half, we're running all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I might be the only one, but I'm pretty encouraged. Despite the injuries and stuff like that, I know this team is going to figure it out. It's a well-coached team. You know, I hope we see the Cowboys again in the playoffs. I'd rather
probably not,
to be honest.
We probably
don't think you honestly see any of the NFC
East
teams.
I'd rather not see any of the NFC East team, but it looks like it's going to have...
mentally preparing for that third matchup.
Yeah.
Love it.
I don't know, but I really feel like the Cowboys, like, yeah, like, rightfully so, they're feeling themselves right now. It's a big win, and I hope they lose focus. I don't know, but I hope they lose focus, because, like, the Cowboy media is acting like they just won the NFC.
Yeah. The Cowboy media, the Dick Ryder media, is basically acting like they won the Super Bowl. Which they did. They beat us.
Yeah.
To them, that's the
Super Bowl, yeah.
Because we're the other NFC East team with a better record than them, so that's what they care about.
I mean, I think it was really beyond anyone's, like, beyond a doubt that you guys were the best team in the NFL, like, hands down, especially.
Yeah.
The last few weeks, of, like, some of the drubbings you were putting on teams, the Giants.
Like, Packers game.
Well, I want to ask you this.
Titans,
like,
game, too.
Like, now that you've seen your team, like, you were able to watch the 49ers play for play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think...
They're nasty.
What do you think about them?
49ers are nice.
They're nasty. And the thing is that what makes them really... This is what I think it's really important to have Jalen Hurts for the Eagles, but... I don't even know how to explain it. Just I need to see you guys in the playoffs because these are two heavyweights. You know, this is Tyson and Ali. You know, Tyson Frey, whatever you guys want to say. Like, these are two heavyweights. Two trains like on a collision course towards each other. This is the mirror of you guys. Literally the mirror of you guys.
Do you guys think that Brock Purdy could win him a playoff game?
Yeah. No. The thing is, he doesn't need to do much. Like, you guys got to understand.
It's a Shanahan system.
The thing is, Brock Purdy and Taylor Heineke are the same person, except Brock Purdy doesn't turn the ball over. He plays within himself, doesn't try to do too much. What he does is he just puts the ball in his playmakers' hands and lets them go at it, you know? And they have so many playmakers, you know? And that's I think they have just maybe one or two playmakers more than the Eagles right now. That's truthfully.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the guy, Nick Bosa, is just a freaking defensive player of the year. He's going to be a game wrecker.
Yeah.
So, I couldn't tell you. I really could not tell you All I know is that number one seed is very important. That number one seed is very
important. Oh, no, absolutely. And right now, the Vikings.
And the Vikings, too. Yeah, like,
they're 12-3, but the thing is, the
Vikings have a much bigger weakness than both the 49ers and the Eagles and their secondary.
Dude, 11 of their wins are one possessions. I'm just like, they're 11-0.
Yeah, they're very resilient.
Yeah. But they give up a lot of leads too. The thing is,
they
like,
give up leads, but I mean,
how many of these are you gonna win 15 or 16 like, one possession games? Because yo, like those
11.
I mean, right now, like, but I'm saying, like, to for them to go where they need to go.
Yeah,
they're gonna need at least two more of those.
No, I 100% think it's possible. The defense is opportunistic. I think they can depend on their defense when push comes to shove to make a play and make a stop. I think that's important. I think they can depend on their defense to do that. And offensively, they've seen it time and time again. Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, Hawkinson now, and Justin Jefferson. You know, he's making a case for – he's probably having one of the best wide receiver seasons in NFL history.
If he gets 2,000, he's probably going to win MVP.
You know, but I think, like, straight up, it's just between them. And really, there's nobody stopping them but themselves, you know. Same with the 49ers. There's nobody stopping them but themselves. And same with the Eagles. There's no one stopping them but themselves. Cowboys, when they're...
I just feel like...
I'm going to say right now, the Super Bowl's coming out the NFC. Super Bowl's coming out.
Yeah, no bullshit. I agree with that.
These teams 49ers. Are just way so much stronger. And one team I'm going to kind of preface is the Bengals are really, like, they're on a mission. Bengals are on a mission. So
yeah.
I can see...
I can see, man, I can see the Bengals coming out of the AFC. Like, I can't believe I'm saying this right now.
Joe Burrow's arrived. They're getting healthy at the right time. Their defense is a lot, much more improved from last season.
Yeah. So, agreed.
I just know that some of the playoffs matchups we're going to see on the NFC side, at least, are going to be some of the most hard-hitting, smash-mouth football like we've seen in a while.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to probably see like a lot of low-scoring games in the playoffs coming out of the NFC.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch because the defenses are definitely on the NFC.
Oh,
now, I want to go back to the AFC because we were talking about this last week. The Dolphins are now 8-7. 8-7.
That's actually what I wanted to bring up. You know, they had their Christmas Day matchup with the Packers, you know, and they looked as explosive as ever. You know, they went off on a 84-yard touchdown, Jalen Waddle, 40-yard completion to Tyreek Hill. Like, the Dolphins were looking like the Dolphins, flustering Aaron Rodgers and company. But, you know, they gave up a lead, three consecutive bone-crushing interceptions on three consecutive drives, you know.
And now he's in concussion protocol for the second time again.
I think it's sad. It's really sad, honestly, with the whole Tua situation and his injuries. He might have to kind of, like, really look in the mirror and really see if he wants to continue playing football.
Yeah.
Because just...
He's had some very devastating injuries in his entire football career, like the hip injury and now struggle with it. Yeah. And I feel like maybe he's not able to brace himself from those hip, like, falls because when he gets whipped to the ground and his head,
snaps back, you know.
Yeah. I wonder how much of that has to do with, you know, maybe, like, stiffness in the hips or you know, maybe he can't like protect himself the way he can, or he can't move his hips enough to brace his fall.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, because it's really upsetting, because, you know, we were watching that game and Tua was looking amazing. He was diming up the Packers and whatnot, and then late in the third quarter he threw a really bonehead interception, threw it right to the guy, and then Green Bay turns the ball over.
You can tell his vision's a little bit affected.
It has to be. Yeah. It has to be.
Because he's not, like, thinking about, like, okay, the defender, like, if I overthrow, the defender is going to be there. Or, like, yo, I can't make this throw. Like, the defender ain't going to be able to undercut it.
And what they did with that offense is kind of perfect because, like, it's very much timing, rhythm, timing oriented. And that's how, like, a lot of these offenses are. The Kyle Shanahan offense, timing, rhythm, balls, get the ball out of your hands at this drop. And getting your receiver's hand.
Yeah, you throw it to a spot and your receiver's going to
be at that spot, you know.
Yeah.
What Tua's not doing is he's not seeing the throw first. He's just kind of like throwing it.
Yeah.
and usually, like, even the touchdown to Jalen Waddle, he kind of just, like, threw it there, expecting what Jalen Waddle to be there. Thankfully, he was, but he threw it perfectly because Jalen Waddle might be just fast enough, got to the ball really fast.
Yeah.
But the defender sinking off could have had made a play on that. But, yeah, the Dolphins, it's really upsetting that this is kind of, like, kind of feel for Dolphins fans. This is the third consecutive year where, you know, it just seems like the sky's the limit for them. The potential's there for their offense and their team in general. Like, go out, get Bradley Chubb. Defense is making plays. Christian Wilkins, like, low-key, really great defense tackle for them. Like, Xavier Howard's been there forever. Like, Javon Holland, really great safety they drafted last year, and he's really coming into his own. You think this was going to be their year? They all get together. We got a great coach in Mike McDaniel. Grant got more running backs, more help. And,
I was going to say, they have a good running game.
And Jeff Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, especially with Jeff Wilson out, like, not playing, or he's injured.
It's got to be heartbreaking that every year they're in this position. It seems like every year it just crumbles down the stretch.
You know what could help the Dolphins? This is probably not this year, but, you know, going into next year. Look to get a solid running game. When was the last time the Dolphins had a solid running back go over 1,000? J.H.I., 2016? Yeah, they have that running back position for the Dolphins has been a rotating bus,
yeah.
Rotating revolving door since J.H.I. was traded to the Eagles.
It's a good draft for running backs as well, so hopefully they might be looking at
it. Yeah, but like you said, Tua is going to have to really make some big decisions, bro. Two concussions in 1 year, I love the game, but fuck all that aside.
The severity of this past one and seeing just, like, how poorly his game diminished within, like, a period of 20 minutes.
Yeah.
He went from, I know you were going up against him in fantasy. This guy was on pace for, like, 40 points in the first half, and then second half comes around. Not even the second half, just, like,
right.
End of the third quarter, start of the fourth quarter, three straight interceptions on three straight drives, you know. And terrible interceptions, throwing it right to a guy. And it pisses me off the most about the whole Tua, like, that game, the Dolphins and the Packers. Because now the Packers think they have a shot at the playoffs. They really think they have. They don't deserve any which way.
Oh, yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Like, the Lions deserve it over them for sure. Or any of the NFC South teams, like, except for the Falcons.
Yeah, I just, and
the Saints, because, like, I still don't know why Jameis Winston is benched.
I think he's injured.
No, he's not.
I definitely see him on the sideline.
He literally was complaining about, like, yo, I was like, yo, I lost my job due to injury, but I'm like, he's not even injured anymore. It's just, there's probably still pain everywhere. Yeah, but
speaking of the NFC South, man, you know, it comes down to the Buccaneers and the Panthers. You know,
the Buccaneers are pathetic. I'm sorry, like. Like,
the Buccaneers are pathetic.
Yeah, no, I mean, dude, like, they were a lightning in a bottle team,
Brady fell off a cliff.
He came back down to earth. It's like, bro, yo, age caught up, catches up to you, man. Like, I hate when Brady, like, throws those incomplete passes because the coverage is there. He just throws it straight to the ground. It's like, yeah, bro, like.
Thing is,
I don't think he has an arm strength to make those perfectly timing, accurate throws that we are accustomed to seeing from him.
Yeah, he threw two of the worst interceptions I've ever seen, like a Brady throw in that game, you know. Both to the same guy, Marco Wilson. Both were intended for Mike Evans. The one was, oh my God, they really better come back. So in this game, Kansas and Arkansas, the score was 38-13. By the way, score was 38.
These are highlights,
think. Yeah, these are highlights. Let's see, Jalon Daniels. Let's see if he can make a play.
Of course. Someone's back. Always running open in college football.
They really did come back. That's crazy.
I just don't understand how people play.
This team really just, like, collapsed.
I just don't understand how people get drafted to the NFL, like, playing defense in college football. Like, there's, like, one, or there's always one, like, stud guy on a team, but it's just like, yeah, like, shit.
Yeah,
I leave all defensive players undrafted.
I just gotta see these highlights because this is an insane game. Arkansas was really up 38-13, and now they're in second overtime,
going for two.
Second to overtime tie it at 53.
Well, they tied it.
Kansas really came
two fucking 6-6 teams.
I think this. this game might still be going
on. Dude, can we get rid of the motorcycle helmets?
Still going on, but wow. But no, back to my point. I completely forgot what my point was.
Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah. Talking about the Buccaneers and Tom Brady. Like, he underthrew massively Mike Evans on a go route. Dude picked it off, returned it like 80 yards. And then the second one, dude, easy corner route that Brady threw so late and underthrew it. And great play by the corner for the Cardinals, Marco Wilson. But it's just Brady, you know, he's just dumping it off. And they were talking about it on the broadcast. I think Chris Collinsworth mentioned it, how they're missing that deep threat. You know, they thought Julio Jones was going to be that guy, but it really hasn't been, hasn't really found rhythm getting on the field.
All right.
But they had Gronk, remember, last year, and they had AB. And AB took the top off. People were afraid of AB. You know, the same way people were afraid of OBJ when he was on the Rams.
Yeah, so I know this is, you know, I've heard this story plenty of times. Like, I've seen this story with the Eagles. Oh, the deep threat. The guy's going to take the top off. But, like, it doesn't matter if your quarterback is not making the right throws or is not delivering the ball on time and accurate. None of that shit matters. Because, you know, like, you can have the deep threat, but can Brady even get it downfield? Oh, it opens up the field below. But, you know, like, if that ball is, you know, you're throwing outside the numbers – and that ball is late, that's going to get picked.
Yeah, no, but it really it does matter, you know, because you have a guy like Tyreek Hill who's, like, running downfield fast as hell. I actually just watched a video on it. Corner's going to play soft, you know, and it's going to – it literally just
opens it's going to open up the field for you schematically, but, I mean, like, hence, like, you know, the three interceptions and the two of them. Yes, I understand he was concussed, but, you know, if you're not – if you're not delivering the ball accurately to the correct spots, he's going to get picked. We saw it. Mike Evans was open down the field.
Yeah, that was just a terrible throw.
Like, it was a terrible throw. Like, he doesn't have enough arm strength to make those deep throws, I feel like, with Brady. Now, I could be wrong, and it just could be something that's just happening this year. But the dude is like 40 fucking 5. He's going to be 46 next year.
To your point, I really think I do believe that they're missing that downfield threat, but it really is just a safety blanket. I really think they're missing that safety blanket. I think they're missing Gronk. I don't remember the last time Brady hadn't had, like, a kind of a dominant tight end. And this season, you know, no Gronk. I think Kyle Rudolph they had for a little bit.
Bro, Kyle Rudolph, you should be eating.
I don't even know if Kyle Rudolph's on the
team. Look, honestly, like, okay.
No, he's on the Giants.
Everything you're seeing right now. It's but a
like,
their
tight ends suck now. Like the Cade Otton or whoever.
Yeah, that's like their new rookie tight end.
What's his name?
Cameron Brake.
Cameron Brake just wasn't the one.
he never was.
Yeah,
he's been at Tampa Bay for like 10 years.
That's
now.
That's Jameis Winston's guy.
Yeah, that is Jameis Winston.
James yeah, so.
Also, they've had a rotating offensive line too.
Oh yeah, offensive line.
Bro, like
the, every team
dude, the Buccaneers need to rebuild, bro. Like literally, their window for championship, they won their championship and they've been regressing since. Now, yo, Chris Godwin's a dog, but like you know what I'm saying, like Chris.
Trade Mike Evans too.
They have to rebuild, honestly. Yeah. Like, and Brady, you're going to have to retire. Like, I'm sorry, bro. Like, I'm not taking a chance on a 46-year-old quarterback. I don't give a fuck if you're the GOAT.
I think it's going to be, you know, speaking of quarterbacks. And
like if Brady, if you want to go to the Jets, maybe you could take that team somewhere. I don't know. The
Jets, but let's talk about a team that just benched their quarterback, Derek Carr and the Raiders. I could see that, you know. I think, you know, Brady came out on that shop. That LeBron James show and shit. He was talking about a team that he spurned for the Buccaneers, and a lot of people were thinking about it being at first Ryan Fitzpatrick in Miami, but you really dig deeper, it probably was the Raiders. You know, Raiders and. The Las Vegas Raiders when they had Gruden. And they went with Derek Carr when they could have had, you know, a guy like Tom Brady. It's interesting. So I could see it because now with Derek Carr being benched and the Raiders falling off a cliff this season, you know, I could see the Raiders kind of like, you know, blowing it up as well, getting rid of Carr. Probably drafting a young guy, releasing Carr, trading Carr.
Yeah. I think Carr would be definitely a good fit for the Colts.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, let's just just send us the.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs wants out of there.
Colts.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs.
Well, Josh Jacobs deserves his fifth year option. He's gonna get a bag. He's gonna get a bag. And you know who might give him the bag? We're just talking about a team that needs running backs. Miami.
Miami.
He would be the perfect fit for
Miami. Miami. I mean, Miles Sanders is a free agent too, so there could be a switch in the middle.
Eagles are definitely keeping Sanders.
Yeah, he's at career year.
We'll see. I mean, we don't know. We don't know who how this team's gonna look. And I feel like C.J. Gardner-Johnson's not gonna be there next year because of the injury.
I mean, we told you. I talked to you about this. We talked about him being in the pod. Like, someone's gotta go. Like, yeah, Eagles window.
A lot of people gotta go.
Yeah, like.
But the thing is, offensively, it's set. Like, this is the
Y'all could let Miles walk and draft another running back because y'all do have top 10
pick. Yeah. But going back to the AFC West, the Chargers actually clinched their first playoff appearance since 2018.
Good. Finally, the Chargers did it. It took a 6-game win streak.
Yeah.
A 6-game win streak when everyone was calling them out. Everyone was saying, okay, what's going on? Like, this is supposed to be the team. They got that shit together. Herbert, even without Herbert, they lean on the running game. They lean on Austin Eckler. They're getting players healthy back. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. So Chargers are a team to watch in the playoffs. Defensively, I still want to see a little more, but they beat a team like the Dolphins, so they can definitely shut down high powered offenses. I'm looking forward to they already played the Chiefs twice. Outside of like losing to the Chiefs, they're a very dangerous team, and also. Oh, they play the Rams next. Okay, so they play the Rams next. But yeah, I'm really glad to see Herbert in the playoffs.
Full healthy complement of offensive players.
Back on the AFC West topic, it was quite the experience in Denver for one Russell Wilson,
the Danger Witch.
Yeah, the Danger Witch himself for real. But enough was enough after they got throttled on Christmas Day, 51-14 by the Los Angeles Rams. Two early picks thrown by Russell Wilson. That just kind of blew up in...
Sean McVay, the quarterback whisperer, is back. Let me tell you something about this guy, Baker Mayfield. He literally lit the fucking... I think he had the number one pass defense he was going up against them.
Correct. Or
like top five at least.
Correct.
And he lit them up. He threw three touchdown passes to Tyler Higbee. And Cam Akers is alive and back.
Cam Akers also had three touchdowns.
Right? Yeah, and he was in good standing with the coach. It's very just interesting to see this Rams team after, playing like the worst Super Bowl winning team ever. Bounce back. They have five wins, but like really didn't feel like they've won
this
much.
This is really important. This is a really important win for the Rams to win the way they won. You saw their defense make plays. Jalen Ramsey had an interception. They had a rookie.
Bobby Wagner had an interception.
Bobby Wagner had an interception. They had an undrafted
man, rookie. Patrick Starr on the commentary. Woo! Woo! Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, we had a Baker Mayfield win, the Nickelodeon, the MVP. But this is a really important W for the Rams to look forward to next year. I know they said, you talked about Baker Mayfield, but again, the quarterback market this offseason, now with Derek Carr, we don't know what Aaron Rodgers does. We don't know what Tom Brady does. Derek Carr is definitely going to be on the move, it seems like. Carson Wentz could be on the move. So it's going to be really interesting seeing this quarterback market play out.
I'm going to be very interested in 49ers quarterback.
Oh yeah, Jimmy G. I completely forgot about Jimmy G.
Honestly, I would move on from
Zach Wilson as well. In New York. So the thing is,
Trevor Lawrence coming up too.
And they said Matthew Stafford, they reported, was definitely going to come back next year. So the Rams, bad year for them. Worst year ever.
All their best players are out.
Super Bowl champion. The next year, worst year ever by a Super Bowl champion. But the future still looks good. Hopefully, Sean McVay isn't a bitch and still coaches next year.
What do you mean retire? You haven't done shit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you really haven't done shit. Even though they've been winning, but it was good seeing they had some young pieces they could kind of build around.
Bro, they weren't winning because of Sean McVay's scheming. They were winning because Cooper Kupp just knew how to get open.
Yeah, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper Kupp was a dog. Robert Woods
Cooper,
was a dog.
Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald's a psycho.
Other thing, but yeah, no, Nathaniel Hackett out as Denver head coach.
I could have told you this, like,
it's insane to me that that happened, you know, like.
When you your game plan is, yo, we're going to try to get the ball in range for a 64-yard field goal with the game on the line. Like
the first game of the season, we saw it. And he hired a guy to help him with, it's funny because he hired a guy to help him with clock management, and that guy is replacing him as the interim head coach. I find that hilarious. Like, Nathaniel Hackett, bro, you damn, bro, like, the Broncos is just a complete shit show. And I wouldn't be surprised if some players asked for out, because I don't think none of them want to play with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, no, my boy works for the Broncos. He's a scout there. He said, the locker room's united. The thing is, bro, like, they'll be good next year. That's my opinion. Like, it's just shitty year. I think Russell Wilson needs to fucking take accountability, because he is 90%, I would say Hackett is 90% of the blame, and then Russell Wilson, you are, you know, another 90% of the blame. So, 180% of the blame goes to the quarterback and the coach.
Yeah, they'll have Javonte Williams coming back too next year. So, we'll see what the future holds for the Broncos.
Russell Wilson is fat.
He's fat.
He is fat.
That's what happened. He gained two. That's what happens, bro. When you start eating too much, bro, like, your game is not that. Stop cooking.
He's not cooking. He's ordering Subway sandwiches. That's why I don't eat Subway.
It's like, bro, like, you're not that cool, bro. Like, I'm sorry. Like, Sierra's washed, too.
Sierra doesn't need to catch a stray.
Yeah, no, she doesn't need to catch a stray.
This is about Russell Wilson. Yeah, this is poor football.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true.
This is about Russell Wilson. Sierra, you keep doing you.
You keep doing you. You gotta put up divorce that man. Divorce that man.
I'm
sorry. I'm sorry because like,
give a future for like this guy.
You caught a stray because you know you're guilty by association.
This man's passionate about Denver Broncos football right here. That's why he caught a stray.
He really likes
to see good football. And he's not seeing it. Your husband's at the freaking root cause of it all.
Yeah, you're married to him, so therefore you guys are like your combined mediocrity at this point. Like, yo, if you know, do what Giselle did, leave him.
You saw the week one, or just before week one, during the preseason, when he dropped the Broncos Country, Let's Ride. And you were like, let's ride.
Well, indeed. I saw that video. I was like, bro, this guy can't be real. Like, he's literally.
And you tested out, like, different, like acting voices?
I'm pretty sure they use that at the stadium when it's, like, third down, or just when the offense is about
to. They had to, like, cut it out, bro.
Yeah, after week two, probably.
Yeah, now they're just like, okay, you know. All
right, we can't do it anymore. It's a joke.
And it's funny because.
Why did they even release that?
This team beat the 49ers. And people forgot, but remember.
That's because that Jimmy G stepped out of the end zone.
Jimmy G threw the pick six, the safety pick six. Like, crazy. The worst interception I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, at least Dan Orlovsky stepped out of bounds before he. Or no, Jimmy G. Well, it was a safety. But at least Dan Orlovsky didn't even throw the ball.
I forget. Was it one of those situations where it was like, did they ask the coach which one they want? The referee's just like, nah, he stepped out of bounds first.
So yeah,
he stepped out of bounds.
Okay.
Also, by the way, speaking of Dan Orlovsky, like, that man's delusional. He'll defend mediocre average quarterbacks all day, every day.
Who do you defend most recently?
I mean, Derek Carr. I mean, don't get me wrong. Derek Carr is good. Yeah, Carr. But it's just like, bro, you're playing like at. Like, he always tries to find an excuse why a quarterback's playing like as. Like, bro, sometimes a nigga is just fucking sucking.
Nah, you're not playing in the NFL that long and sucking. That's just the truth.
How many years has Derek Carr been in the NFL?
This is 2014. Starting every single year.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, he's probably in the back, like, experienced backup. I mean,
he's a starter.
I think he's the same quality as Ryan Tannehill, but just above Ryan Tannehill.
I don't know. I just think the Raiders' offense.
I think Ryan Tannehill might be a little bit better just because he has a look.
The Raiders' offense to me looks so 2005. Like, the I formations.
Well, also Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, like.
Thing is,
how do you fuck that up with Devontae Adams?
Devontae Adams having a great year. I don't know what you're saying, bro.
No, he's having a great year, but like, you would expect him to have like Justin Jefferson numbers.
No, they're forcing Justin Jefferson the ball. That's different.
That's different, yeah.
And they're playing from behind.
that last drive versus the Giants, where you got in the field goal range to set up Greg Joseph with a 61-yard field goal. He literally targeted Justin Jefferson like two to three times on that.
Well, also, I mean, don't get me wrong. You could do that with Devontae Adams. You could keep targeting him.
The thing is, like, yo, Devontae Adams will, like, all right. So I haven't seen, did Jalen Ramsey guard Justin Jefferson at all? Did the Vikings and Rams play recently? The last 2 years?
No, they've never met.
Okay, so this is how you know Devontae Adams is him. I mean, I know Jalen Ramsey's kind of had a off year, but, like, bro, yo, you could have the most perfect coverage, and you know the defenders when they swipe, And, like, Davante Anderson has one catch on Jalen Ramsey where he swiped at the ball and he had to keep his feet in bounds. Usually when people swipe, the ball changes possessions, you know, one hand and the other, and you don't have your feet in bounds. Not Davante Adams, bro. This dude swiped as hard as he can at the ball.
Hey, bro, he's all pro for a reason.
Like, bro, the dude must have the strongest hand and forearms ever.
Bro, we got paid. He got the bag.
Yeah, he knows how to work people. So, like, to answer your question. He's a way better route runner than DeAndre Hopkins, in my opinion.
Yeah. To answer your question.
He does take PEDs. So, look, I would say Devontae Smith and DeAndre Hopkins have similar games.
I think Devontae Smith might be better.
But I think Devontae Smith is way better.
Yeah.
Way better raw talent. Just
Eagle bias.
So. One, he won a Heisman.
Yeah.
So, you know.
With Mac Jones as his quarterback.
With Mac Jones.
With Mac Jones as his quarterback.
The dirtiest player in the NFL right now.
Like shit.
Don't forget.
Mac Jones fucking sucks.
Grayson Allen Jones.
Yeah. But then, you know, speaking of, switching gears to the same division, the Bills are on a hot streak. They were, 6-3 a couple weeks ago. Now they're on a 6-game winning streak, I think.
The Bills have won
6 straight. They're 12-3, yeah. They haven't lost to the Vikings.
Okay, yeah. No, you are correct. I don't believe they've lost since that Vikings game. Bills are definitely on the heater. Chiefs are coming into their own. Bengals, we talked about, coming into their own. Jaguars, I think they've won 3 or 4 straight, or maybe 5 straight, I believe. Jaguars, they're in sole possession of the AFC South and hold on to that 4 seed. Ravens clinched a playoff berth. Chargers clinched a playoff berth. Ravens might be dangerous once they get Lamar back. And, you know, right now, since they already have, I don't know if they're locked into that 5 seed. They could move up and down. I mean, they could only move down. Actually,
I still watch out for the
Ravens. They can still win the division.
So I can see the Ravens and Bengals playing each other in the playoffs. But I could somehow see the Ravens upsetting that if Lamar plays. But the Bengals are hot.
Bengals are hot. They're on a mission that we talked about earlier. And the Dolphins, I just feel like they're on a free fall. But, you know, if they win these next 2 games, Teddy Bridgewater looks like he's in line to start against the Dolphins. And then they end the season playing at home against the Jets. So it's possible. It's really possible for the Dolphins to sneak in there. I really hope they do. But, you know, I think the Jets going to Mike White, they could pose issues. Patriots also. But Patriots, there's no reason they should be in that, you know, in the hunt. So I think really with the AFC, I mean, we'll talk about it again next week, final week of the season. But right now, I think the AFC pretty much stays like that. I think all the teams up there are going to, I mean, give or take like 1 or 2 spots for like the Bengals, Ravens, and then like, I guess, Chargers, Dolphins in a way. But I see the AFC, I think those are your 7 playoff teams. And I like it. And I think the Jaguars, hopefully if they get in, they pose a really big threat for whoever, they get a home playoff game, the Jaguars, you know. And they will pose a threat to whoever they play, whether it be the Dolphins, Chargers, or the Ravens. I think they already beaten the Ravens. So they've only beaten the Chargers too. So I think the Jaguars pose a really big threat for some of these wild card teams in the NFC.
Go Jaguars.
Whereas NFC, I wanted to get you guys' take. What do y'all think? You see, Omar, you got the playoff picture up. Right now we got the Eagles, Vikings, 49ers, Buccaneers, Cowboys, Giants, Commanders. Do you guys feel like those really are the playoff teams, or what do you guys think?
Yeah. I mean, I really think the entire NFC is going to make the playoffs. RIP to Lions' playoff hopes. Packers, no shot. None whatsoever. They'll lose in every tiebreaker. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But like
they need to win out.
They need to win out.
They need to lose at least one.
Yeah. Exactly, because they don't have a tiebreaker against you guys. They lost to the Giants.
They lost to us too. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't they lose? Did they play the Seahawks or no?
I don't believe they played the Seahawks.
Who? Lions?
Yeah.
The Packers.
Yeah. Remember when Geno Smith was in the MVP conversation?
Comeback Player of the Year now. I think that's up. That's up there for debate. But you know, you're confident about it, Mahana. I'm not as confident. I do believe that RC, I mean, I just don't see us winning. I see us winning one of the last two. I don't. We have to win out to make.
If you guys can't beat Cleveland, I don't think you guys deserve
it. I don't think it's really Cleveland. I do think, first of all, I think it's really likely we lose the next two games.
Why? Because the Cowboys, even if they have everything, there's nothing to play for. They're going to play all their starters, and Dak's going to have a career game because that's what they do. They're really week depends. 18 All-Stars.
It really just depends what kind of team comes to play on New Year's Day at FedEx Field for the Commanders. You know, I'm really just not as confident because with Heinicke in there, we didn't look like a playoff team. We had great defense. We had great playmakers, but we were missing the quarterback. And, Rivera says that Wentz has been getting better with the system. It was good for him to sit down, kind of get the pressure off of him. But now, you know, the pressure's back on him because, we need to win these next two games. And if the offense is clicking like it was week one, then we could be a very dangerous team.
Well,
I can see us as a playoff team.
What's crazy is, man, this is why I'm not a Rivera fan, bro. Because what do you mean Wentz is getting better with the system? It's not like he was any worse than Heinicke.
Well, I mean, he wasn't worse than Heinicke, but you guys gotta understand, man. This guy's coming in new system. Compared to a guy in Heinicke who already knows the system.
Who knows the system and yet will still make the wrong read.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's just very upset. That's just why the whole Heinicke thing, I don't understand. Heinicke got, a cult fan base, bro. Some of these people are just, annoying as hell talking about Heinicke. Don't get me wrong. I love this man sometimes. But, it was really too little too late. Last week, the last 2 weeks, I saw they were making a concentrated effort to push the ball down the field. That's just a little too late, in my opinion. Last week against the 49ers, Heinicke played great, but he turned the ball over two straight possessions, and that killed us. He was giving our receivers chances, throwing it. We were throwing the ball deep, and it was working. So I get you could be upset. It's Heinicke didn't play that bad. I was okay, but look at the whole body. You have to look at the whole body of work. And right now, Wentz came in that drive, and they were blitzing him. Everyone was talking about they're playing prevent. No, they was blitzing Wentz, and he was getting out of the ball. He was being very decisive. The touchdown throw he threw had to Curtis Samuel. Really, he threw a dime, and it was okay, that's what we've been missing, Because, what's his name? Heinicke's not making those throws. Heinicke, actually, I saw the stat. Out of 2000, he ranked in the 727th percentile of quarterbacks since 2000. So you're looking at over 800 quarterbacks. He ranked 727th when it came to red zone efficiency.
Heinicke's an emergency quarterback.
He's barely, guys, that's the thing. He's barely a backup. I think if it's not for our system and the Scott Turner offense, I don't think he wins games as a backup anywhere else. He's proved that he can play.
That's bro, the position he's in, he's very lucky.
Oh no, yeah, fortunate. That's why I love.
It wasn't what I'm saying. He earned a spot. Well, he did earn it, but I'm just saying, got a shot because you guys were desperate. You guys needed a backup. You guys ran through your first, second, third string quarterback. You needed somebody to start for a playoff game because of COVID. Somebody who knew the system, and he stuck around because of that. It's what I'm saying. The guy who shows up, gets his foot into the door in the company, and then works his way up the. To a management position.
I just don't get it because, we literally have a sample size well enough to judge this man Heinicke, yet people are just so enamored by him. He had all year last year to prove it. Okay, our defense wasn't as good as it was this year. Last year, okay. But our defense is just as good. And he still can't, he still can't get it done. He still can't score more than 20.
He doesn't want to start. He's actually saying otherwise. But hey,
he plays like a pussy. That's all I got.
We'll see, man. It's gonna be an interesting week coming up. So
yeah, we got a lot of good games on the slate. A lot of playoff implications. Dolphins, Patriots, one of them. Colts, Giants, one of them. Saints, Eagles. You guys need that dub. Get that number one spot. Steelers, Ravens. That's a huge one for the Ravens. The Ravens already clinched. But what else? Browns, Commanders. We talked about that one. Panthers, Buccaneers. This is for the NFC South right here. Whoever wins this game is going to the playoffs. As simple as that.
That's what I was gonna say. That's the team that I think is gonna honestly slip out. Well, if there's any two teams that are gonna slip out,
Jets, Seahawks, Vikings, Packers, Bills. Oh my God, those last three games, man. Jets, Seahawks, Vikings, Packers, and Bills and Bengals. Those are huge. Bills and Bengals, low key playoff preview right there.
We'll see.
We'll see
what happens this week. But I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, no, 100%. All right, guys, that'll be it for us today. Hope y'all enjoyed. We'll get back at it next week. And again, yo, hope you guys enjoyed your holidays. And again, be safe. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you guys in 2023.